Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Thanks so much again for joining us. Toni Morrison is among the most revered American authors of modern times. One of only two female writers to ever win the Nobel Prize for Literature, Morrison's works have been read by millions of people all around the world. She remains a dominant political and cultural force, continuing to elevate marginalized voices within the literary world and beyond today. The new film, Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, will be out in select South Florida theaters next week. Timothy Greenfield Sanders directed the film. He grew up here in Coconut Grove. Aside from filmmaking, Greenfield Sanders also has photographed hundreds of politicians, activists, and celebrities. He joins us now from the NPR studios in New York. Mr. Greenfield Sanders, great to have you.
Thank you.
Why release a documentary about Morrison's life at this time?
Well, I felt she's now 88. I felt that if I was ever going to do it, now would be the time to get this filmed and shot. We started about 5 years ago, but I've known Toni for 38 years.
And so as you were putting this together, I mean, what was the thinking about? Because you look at her life, and you could make a movie that's hours and hours long, but what did you want to do? What was the message you wanted to get across about her?
I wanted to show people the full Toni Morrison beyond just the great writer, the Nobel Prize winner. I wanted to show people that she had been an extremely important editor at Random House in the 60s and 70s, bringing an enormous amount of work from women of color and kind of marginalized writers into a very white establishment building at in New York, that really controlled so much of the printed word. And I wanted to show her as the single mother of two boys, a teacher. She was a longtime professor at Princeton, but taught at many other universities, and a very complex, complicated, amazing woman.
When were you first exposed to her work?
You know, I was in 1970, I left Miami. I went to Columbia in New York to study. And I remember sort of reading The Bluest Eye sometime in the 70s. Toni wrote it in 1970. 11 years later, in 1981, she came into my studio in the East Village for a portrait. I was a kind of young photographer. I did a portrait for the cover of the Soho News. And we became friends at that moment. And I continued to do portraits for her book covers and jackets over the years, and a long friendship developed.
And yeah, I wondered about, you know, something fascinating is, you know, for you as a photographer, how much you get to know people, you know, before you are, you know, working behind the lens on them. And I wondered, you know, how long before you, you know, how much time did you get to know her before you started, you know, taking photos?
Well, I think what great photographers have is an ability to read people very quickly. So when someone walks into my studio, I'm judging, kind of trying to figure out if they're nervous, what I can do to make them feel comfortable, and so that by the time they're on the set, they're trusting me and relaxed. And I think Toni and I had a connection very early on. So she reached back to me to do some more work, and over the years, you know, it became a long friendship. In my kitchen in 2005, we were sitting there doing portraits for, lunch that day. We were shooting portraits for Margaret Gardner. She had written the libretto for the opera, Margaret Gardner. And she said, we should do a book on black divas. And that she had interviewed so many for the project, and it would be an interesting thing to do. And that idea led to a whole series I did on identity that started with The Blacklist, which was three films on African Americans that then followed with the Latino list, the out list, the women's list, the trans list. And all of that really was started by Toni.
You know, one of the things about this film is the voices that you bring in to talk about, you know, Toni Morrison's impact on their lives. And Morrison's second novel, Sula, was critical in launching her into the national spotlight. But this is Farrah Griffin, professor at Columbia University, talking about a little bit about Morrison's work, especially Sula, this from your film.
When you read early reviews of Toni's work, those early sympathetic liberal reviewers, and I remember one of them about Sula, And the reviewer says, she's got a great talent. One day she won't limit it to only writing about Black people. Like, really, it's limiting for her to write about Black people? Like, no one says that when, you know, an Irish writer writes about Irish people. You know, it's only limiting when you write about Black people.
You know, there is this long history of talented Black writers in the U.S., but is this what made Toni Styles so unique, is that she was intentionally writing to a Black audience?
Yeah, very much so. Toni talks about the white gaze, and she tells a story often about James Baldwin talking about the little white man sitting on your shoulder, watching everything you do and critiquing you and, you know, controlling you in a sense. And she says, once you knock that little man off your shoulder, you can really be free to tell your stories. And Toni always wrote from a Black perspective, and she was criticized for it, of course, for years. But I think the universality of kind of the ability to write these very specific stories but still be universal, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
is what her great talent is.
Morrison lived, grew up, you know, with a poor family, and I wondered how that helped forge her writing style.
You know, interestingly, she grew up in Lorain, Ohio, which was a very poor but very mixed and kind of multi-racial group of people. She talks about, you know, being with Italians and other Black people and Poles and this whole mix of poor people. It was a kind of a steel town on Lake Erie, and she didn't really experience much racism until she left and went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., where there was a lot of issues of skin tone coloration within the Black community itself at Howard, which was shocking to her.
And you know what? I wondered, you know, more of that time that she spent at Howard than how that really shaped her, because that's interesting that you grow up one way, and then it's like a lot of us. Then we leave, we go to school, and we find ourselves in that situation, like, wait a minute, this isn't the world that I knew.
Well, yes. I grew up in Miami. I went to Ransom School. It was Ransom in those days, Ransom Everglades now. And it was a very closed society. I was aware of racism and segregation in Miami because my mother had started the first art school in the South in 1950. So I was brought up in a atmosphere where, you know, those issues were on the table. But when I went away to college, it was a big change to live in New York with so many different people.
When you're putting this film together, what were some of the moments that you wanted to highlight about her life? And I'm wondering, like, those moments, those key turning points in her life, what were you looking for?
You know, I think that what comes through throughout the film is the confidence of Toni Morrison. And I remember it in 1981 when she first walked into my studio. But you see it in the interviews that she gave over the years with Charlie Rose and Bill Moyers and Dick Cavett, all those. She's just tremendous in those. And I think that's what comes through. You know, the way I shot this film, she's looking directly at camera. And the other people who are talking about her are looking off camera. So Toni really tells her story to us, the viewer. And it's a very powerful way to shoot it. And she's particularly, you know, extraordinary, really. Her voice is wonderful. And she's a great storyteller.
By the way, how did you approach her on this idea? And what was her reaction?
Well, Toni's very private, doesn't allow biographies, won't do an autobiography. And I brought it up kind of a couple of years ago, and she did not say no. And I knew that was a yes, ultimately. And her concern, I think, was that it would take too much time away from her own work. So I assured her it wouldn't, and she wouldn't have to really be involved. I really needed a couple of days of interviews and then to come back to her for more and a list. And we had fun with the list.
I'm talking with Timothy Greenfield Sanders. He's the director behind the new film titled Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. The film is playing at numerous theaters around South Florida starting next week. We've included details on our social media at WLRN Sundial. As you mentioned, I mean, you grew up here in Miami in Coconut Grove. I wondered, what about life here in Miami opened you up into photography and film? How did you get into it?
I think I got into it by subscribing to the Village Voice as a teenager.
Okay.
There wasn't really much in Miami in those days, other than my family was in, you know, cared about the arts. My father had studied painting in Paris, and my mother was a, you know, a concert level musician. So I was surrounded by the arts, but the visual arts not as much. There weren't really classes to take in those days, so. I remember when I wanted to go to film school, my guidance counselor said to me, no, you need to go to a four-year college first and learn something, and then you can become Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, it worked out, I guess.
I did. I met Hitchcock, too. It was great.
and well, real briefly, I mean, I'm not going to let you go without telling me about that.
Well, I was shooting him. I had a little job at the school at California at AFI, and I was shooting a portrait of him. And he said, young man, your lights are in the wrong place. And I said, I don't really know what I'm doing. He said, well, come to the studio. I'll introduce you. And he took me around Universal Studio, and we had lunch with Edith Head. And it was kind of an amazing experience. He was very much of a mentor to me, very, very wonderful. But it prepared me kind of to be able to handle celebrities in a sense and to understand them better, because I was so in awe of him, but then I got to know him as a person.
Yeah, you think about like all the people that you've had the chance to, you know, document in photography, politicians, actors, celebrities, even film stars, adult film stars. And I wondered, you know, when you look back on all of that, you know, what's the big takeaway for you in your experiences? What did all of that teach you?
Well, I think everyone comes to a portrait with some trepidation, and you have to kind of get that person ready to open up. And Tony, you know, Tony has said to me once that she lets me see the real her. And that's such a wonderful thing. She's open to me in the camera there. And you can see it in the photographs, I think, that I take of her. And that's what you want as a portrait photographer. You want people to kind of be open to you and not, it's easy to hide from a camera if you want. You can prevent yourself from being seen really in many ways.
Something about, you know, thinking about the fact that, you know, you're a local, and in creating this film, it got us thinking about, you know, the film industry here in South Florida. And, you know, in the 70s and 80s, going into the 90s, I mean, this is a booming place for the industry. And I wonder, do you think that Florida could ever be that place? Or do you, as a filmmaker, do you have to go elsewhere?
Well, I work, you know, in my own little way, in my own studio, and I don't really shoot outside. I think Florida has tremendous beauty, and that the potential there is, you know, enormous. I think we have to worry about climate change, you know, down there a little bit. You know, there's some serious issues. But the beauty there, I'm reminded every time I come back of how gorgeous it is and why people love it there.
Are there any stories from your childhood that you would love to one day tackle in film?
Oh, that are Miami-centric?
Yeah.
Gosh, I hadn't really thought about that. I think my life growing up there has formed me in some way that allows me to do what I do. It's made me a better photographer in some ways, I think. I don't think there's any specific story, but... I love that I grew up there, and I learned a lot there.
You know, I want to come back to this film. And as I said before, there's just so much to Toni Morrison, you know, to try to capture it in within 2 hours. I wondered if there was a part that you had to cut or that you wish you could have spent more time on.
There's a lot on the cutting room floor. There were 12 people interviewed, the 13 people interviewed, 12 made it to the film. And the 13th was a man named Peter Sellers, who is the theater director. And we had a 7-minute section in which Tony talks about Shakespeare with him that is just riveting. But we pulled it. We needed to kind of cut the film a little shorter, and that'll be in the Magnolia DVD extras.
And, you know, I wondered, I mean, as you're going back again to the very beginning, though, when you're putting this together, is how long did it take for you to figure out who those voices had to be?
Well, I went to Tony with a long list, and Tony pulled out a red editing pencil and cut the list way down. So You know, I also don't like to interview people who won't end up in the film. I felt very guilty about Peter Sellers.
Right.
So I really try and make an effort that if I'm going to ask you to give me your day and spend the time thinking about Toni Morrison and what she means to you, I want you to end up in the film.
There is something that Toni Morrison says at the end of the documentary about identity. Let's take a listen.
Courage, domesticity. This is what black people mean to me and still mean to each other. But for me, the history of the place of black people in this country is so varied, complex, and beautiful.
Morrison has said before that literature can be better than history books for capturing and recording the experiences of the many, especially within marginalized communities. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think it's so true, and I think if you take a book like Beloved, it's a perfect example of that. It's not history, but we can learn our history from it, and that's what I think Toni is talking about there.
If you don't know anything about Toni Morrison, this is a film that will open you up to a fascinating storyteller. If you were a fan, it is a must-watch. It is a fascinating film, again, called Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. Timothy Greenfield Sanders is the director behind the film. Again, the film is playing at numerous theaters around South Florida beginning next week, and we've got information on our social media at WLRN Sundial. Mr. Greenfield Sanders, it's been a pleasure. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Mom, if you're listening, hi there.
Mom, he says hello. Thanks, Timothy.
Okay.
All right. Well, still to come, Charles Williford changed a lot about the way we think of crime stories in South Florida. Up next, two authors shared their appreciation for our author of the June title of the Sundial Book Club. That's coming up next.